The book of Deuteronomy. Well, we're about to start on a journey through Deuteronomy, and I expect that many of us have read this book. There might be some of us who have heard of it, or maybe you haven't heard of it and you've never read it before. Maybe this is going to be the first time you've ever heard a sermon series on Deuteronomy. It's not a book that people regularly preach from, but it is in the Bible. It is from God. It means it's useful for us. It teaches us, and it spurs us on to love God. Now, the first five books of the Old Testament were written by Moses. Jesus and the apostles all refer to the law of Moses, or the traditions that Moses gave. And when they do that, they're all referring to the first five books of the Bible. And Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible. Now, while the first four books are narratives of events that happened and there's some law that God told Moses, Deuteronomy is different. See, Deuteronomy is one big sermon. This is Moses' final plea to get people to express loving obedience to a loving God. And that's our series title, Loving Obedience to a Loving God. Now, Deuteronomy is one of the most important books in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus quoted from it more than any other Old Testament book. He lived by it. The three temptations from Satan in the desert were answered using Deuteronomy. Now, the importance of Deuteronomy for Jesus is very clear. And what we'll see is that the gospel in Deuteronomy is also very clear. Now, we just need to look at the structure of Deuteronomy to see that the beginning starts by reminding people of God's grace, and then the middle is filled with instructions on how to live as people who have received God's grace, and then the last four chapters reveal how God will be gracious to Israel in the future. See, the book of Deuteronomy is all about grace, about God's grace. It's about how God loved his people first, and then Moses tells them how to live, or how to best live, as God's people loved by him. I've heard from someone that that Deuteronomy should be called the Gospel of Moses. The name actually means second law. That's what the name means. But there's so much about God's grace here that calling it the Gospel of Moses would be appropriate. It's a book that's theologically rich like Romans, and Moses has had 40 years to write it, write this speech, a bit like John's Gospel. That's the richness of Deuteronomy, okay? And in this Gospel of Moses, we have Moses' last three or four speeches, depending on who you are. It's either three or four. And in chapter 3, verse 29, we see that the Israelites have stopped at a spot where they can see the promised land. And Moses pleads with God in chapter 3, 23 to let him into the land. One last plea, but God refuses because of his rebellion. And it's here at Beth Peor that Moses begins these speeches. Now, over the next nine Sundays, we'll be looking at those speeches and the conclusion, seeing how Moses instructs the Israelites for how they are to respond to a loving God with loving obedience. Now, we see all of this near the end of Deuteronomy. So I want you to turn to chapter 30. It's not unusual to go to the end of a book to start a book, is it? So let's do it again. Go to the end of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. And what we see here is part of the reason Moses writes this book. Now, you might like to underline these verses in your own Bible if you've got it with you, or highlight them. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. Says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now, what's important here is life. See, Moses mentions life three times in this small section. He's just urged the Israelites to follow God's instructions in the previous 20 plus chapters. And then here in chapter 30, Moses sums it up and he says that to follow God's commands is like choosing life. Following his commands is like choosing life. There's a choice before all of us to choose life or to choose death. And Moses urges them, choose life. Life is filled with blessing. Life is filled with obedience. Life is filled with listening to God and holding fast to him. See, that's the way to life. That's what he urges the Israelites. Now, how can they ensure that they'll choose life? Well, a little bit further on in your Bible, chapter 31, verses 12 and 13, we'll read another few verses. This is how the people can choose life. You might want to underline these ones as well. Chapter 31, 12 and 13. It says, assemble the people, men, women and children, and the aliens living in your towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. The Israelites are at Beth Peor and they're about to cross over into the promised land. Moses wants them to listen to God's instructions. He wrote down the law for them and he says that all people, men, women, children, aliens or foreigners, are to do the same. Listen to it. Learn from it. Fear it. Follow it. Hear it. Hear the law as long as you live. This is how they are to choose life. To choose life and live in loving obedience to a loving God. Now, that's the big view of Deuteronomy, okay? He tells them everything they need to choose life or to live in loving obedience to this loving God. God loved them first, and then Moses told them how to respond or how to live. Well, now that we've seen the big picture of Deuteronomy, it's now time to head back to the first few chapters to begin looking at this book. And you might want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And what we see in these first few chapters are reminders. It looks back at the past. Corinne did a great job of showing us that with the kids, helping them to see that they can make better choices for the future. We have two sets of reminders in this first section. And the first reminder, and you'll see this in your outline in your bulletin as well, the first set is a reminder of Israel's past faithlessness, and the second is a reminder of God's past faithfulness. In short, today is a bit of a history lesson. Look at how you acted in the past. Look at how God acted in the past. The point being that as we're reminded of what happened in the past, well, it's time to change for the future. This is what history does, isn't it? It reminds us of what happens in the past so we can make better choices for the future. So let's look at our first point, a reminder of Israel's past faithlessness. As we look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, we see in verse 2 that it takes very little time to get from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. And Moses is recounting what's happened many years before. Now, it's assuming we know all these places, or I'm assuming that you don't know where all these places are. So in your bulletins, you'll actually have a map, and Andrew's going to put it on the wall behind me as well, so you can see it. We'll read verse 2 and then we'll look at the map. So it says in verse 2, it takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. Now you can see that Horeb is right down the bottom. Thanks, Andrew. Right down the bottom, number 2 on your map. And then Kadesh Barnea is number 4. And it says it takes 11 days for them to travel up to that place. Now, Horeb is in the south near the bottom of the map. Now, it says Mount Sinai there and Horeb in brackets. This is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Okay? And then you'll remember that they left there and they went to journey into the land that God had promised them, an 11-day journey. But then look at verse 3 in your Bibles. It says, in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month. An 11-day trip, and now it's 40. We're now in the 40th year. See, Israel failed to trust the Lord. See, verse 26 shows us what happened when what happened. Moses reminds them of their faithlessness. He told them how they spied out the land and came back scared. And then look at verse 26. It says, but you are unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and you said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say, the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw Anakites there. See, the people were commanded to go into the land, but as they went in and spied out the land, they saw what they were up against, and they doubted the Lord's goodness. And because they doubted and were disobedient, it brought with it God's judgment. Look at verse 34. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your forefathers. Except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Caleb was the only one of that generation who went into the land and believed that the Lord would give it to them. Everyone else that went in doubted, and they spread that fear throughout the Israelites. And so God said, not one of that generation will enter the land. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 14, just maybe over the page, the generation has passed, and we read there that by then the entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp as the Lord had sworn. Now it's a reminder of the judgment of God for those who doubt his goodness and don't trust his word. Moses is reminding the Israelites that they were responsible for their own undoing. They grumbled, they rebelled, they believed God hated them, they feared the giants of the land. In fact, if you look at all this, the Israelites did nearly everything wrong. Instead of looking at what God had done and trusting him, they forgot God's goodness and doubted him. Instead of loving him for where they were, they hated him for bringing them out of slavery. Instead of fearing God, they feared the ones God said he would fight for them. Instead of belief, they turned to unbelief. And the rest of the chapter, chapters 2 and 3, tell us more of the same. People not listening to God and suffering the consequences of his judgment. See, the Israelites try to take the land themselves. God hands them over, and finally they're in the desert suffering their rebellion against God. See, Moses here reminds them of the past. He reminded them of Israel's faithlessness, and that's really our first point. And as we head into our second point, what we see now is a reminder of God's past faithfulness. So let's look at the faithfulness of God in this same section. We saw that the Israelites were told that one generation would die and the next generation would go into the land. This was God's promise to the people. And we can see this answer, see the answer to this promise in chapter 2, verse 7. It says in chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over your journey through this vast desert. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything. Now we can see how God has provided, because they were in a desert. Now we haven't seen much detail of what this desert was like, so just head back to verse 19 of chapter 1 and we'll read what this desert was like. It says there, then as the Lord our God commanded us, we set out from Horeb and went towards the hill country of the Amorites through all that vast and dreadful desert that you have seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. Now, Kadesh Barnea is the place where they were to enter the land. The desert sits between Kadesh Barnea and Horeb. And after they leave Kadesh Barnea, they spend the next 38 years in what the NIV says is a vast and dreadful desert. The ESV says a terrifying wilderness. See, this isn't green tree wilderness with bears and animals and rivers running through it. If you've ever seen a photo of the pyramids or been to Egypt and seen the pyramids for yourself, you look out on the horizon, and I think that's what it would probably look like here. There's nothing. It's sand as far as you can see. It was desert, sandy, rocky, unforgiving, no shade, terrifying wilderness. Terrifying because there's nothing there. And what we need to see here is that God preserved a people so that one generation who disobeyed would pass away and the next generation would survive. Survive in this terrifying wilderness. Now, this is a reminder of God's faithfulness, isn't it? Right in the middle of this judgment, we see God at work preserving his people through the harshest of deserts to bring them to the land that he promised them. But this is only a small portion of a much bigger promise to these people. If you remember in Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3, God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And in Deuteronomy 1 verse 10, we see that God has kept this promise. Look at verse 10. It says, the Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are today as numerous as the stars of heaven. Now that may be familiar to you. Abraham was told to count the stars, and there were too many. And here they are, as numerous as the stars in heaven. God's faithfulness tells us that his promises come true. God's faithfulness is on display. He told them in Egypt that he would bring them back to possess the land, and here they are ready to enter the land God promised them. And as we finish up this second point, we need to turn over to Deuteronomy 3, 27 to 29. See, on your maps you can see that there's a coloured section to the west of the Jordan. That's on the higher end there, Andrew. There's a colour section to the right of the Jordan River. This is the section in chapter 3 that the Israelites take possession of. This land west of the Jordan was the first area of land that they would take possession of. It's almost like they get a partial fulfillment of God's promises to enter the land. And once they have all this land, they stop at a place called Beth Peor, which I believe is number 11, or no, 12 on your map. And this is where Moses preaches the sermon to the people. And what we see as they look at the land is God's faithfulness to bring them to the edge of the promised land. Look at chapter 3, verse 27, where the Lord speaks to Moses. And he says to Moses, go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes. Since you are not going to cross this Jordan, but commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land you will see. So he stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. See, God's faithfulness to his people is certain. They will cross the Jordan. He promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and here they are, ready to enter the land. See, can you see this? God has done it. He's faithful and true to his word. He told Abraham all that time ago that he would bring a great nation into the land. And here they are, gathered together. They can see it. The land is before them. And before he gives it to them, Moses reminds the people of God, of God's faithfulness to them. And he reminds them through this long sermon of how they can fulfill or how they can live and choose life according to what the Lord has told them. See, what we can see here is that God fulfills his promises to his people. See, what we learn in this section is that Deuteronomy is that our present hope is based on God's past faithfulness, despite our own faithlessness. We've just had a history lesson about Israel and their faithlessness and God and his faithfulness. The Israelites rebelled and an 11-day journey turned into a 40-year trip that wiped out a generation of people. 40 years on, Moses reminds them of God's faithfulness. They sit here at Beth Peor and God has provided for them in miraculous ways for the past 40 years. They are where they are as examples of God's faithfulness to them. So Moses reminds them of his faithfulness to them. And he does that because we're forgetful, aren't we? The Israelites came out of Egypt. They saw the faithfulness of God to get them out, miracle after miracle. They heard the voice of God, and yet when they're asked to take the land, what did they do? They forget everything that God has done before. Now, this is not anything out of the ordinary, is it? Most of us in a moment of crisis forget the goodness of God. We forget what he's done and we prefer to trust in what we can do right now. But the reality is that genuine hope comes from looking to the past and reminding ourselves of God's faithfulness to his people. And Paul wrote about this in the book of Romans, so you might want to turn to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read one verse there, verse 32. Romans 8, 32. And it says there, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? See, the point of the verse is that God provided Jesus as a sacrifice for your sins. He gave him up for all of us. He gave up what was most precious to him, his only son, so that God's anger toward you would be turned toward his son. See, God establishes a relationship with you based on the death of his own son. And as we look back at that sacrifice for our sin, we're reminded of God's faithfulness for us. We know that God will provide all that we need because he has been faithful in the past. So I want to leave you with a challenge to look back at God's faithfulness. Many of us dwell in the present failures and forget God's faithfulness to us. And so each day this week, I want you to wake up and I want you to remind yourself of God's faithfulness to you. His faithfulness through his son Jesus, who died to bring you into relationship with himself. Now, of course, we're only able to do this if we trust that the sacrifice of Jesus takes away God's anger toward us. Now, the Bible teaches us that all people are under the wrath of God or under the anger of God, but Jesus. A very important but Jesus. Jesus comes and he takes the anger you deserve on himself so that you are no longer the object of God's anger. Do you trust that Jesus' sacrifice sets you free from your sin? Well, if this is you, that's great. And if not, then I want to urge you to find out more. Get to know what Jesus has done for you. Get to know how he appeases God's anger towards us. Get to know his salvation. Because when you know and trust the Lord Jesus, you can look back at God's faithfulness for you today. And you can say, God has done it. He has set me free. He has won the victory over my sin. And if this is you, then each day this week, remind yourself of the truth of the past. Remind yourself, spend some time reading about the death and resurrection of Jesus, and remind yourself of God's faithfulness to you. See, he's done the hard work of bringing you into a relationship with himself. And therefore, he won't abandon you. He won't change his mind. He won't pull out of his promises. See, God is faithful. We've seen that. Our salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus is sure. So remind yourself of this truth and stop doubting his goodness. See, the Israelites' undoing was their grumbling, their fear, their unbelief. But what we've been reminded of is that God is to be trusted. There's no reason to grumble, and there is no reason to doubt his goodness. Our series title is Loving Obedience to a Loving God. And what we've seen today is the love of God. And that as God's people, we need reminding of his love for us. Not much more than this, but a very important message for a very forgetful bunch. We just celebrated Anzac Day to remind us of great wars of the past, didn't we? And this part of Deuteronomy does the same. Don't forget the goodness of God. Remind yourself frequently, God is faithful. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we have this reminder of how you looked after your rebellious people and brought them into the land. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice for our sins. We thank you that he loved us even though we didn't deserve it. Help us to remember. Remember your goodness. Remember your faithfulness. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.